Blessings, guys. Welcome back to another episode of I Am Unlocking Destiny and Finding Purpose. I'm your host, Maria Bobiles, and this episode is rounding out our theme on divine timing. Last episode, we were on this train of thought, and I would actually really like to round out this theme and continue on from the last episode, where everything has its time. We were kind of talking about forgiveness and offense, and I kind of wanted to start this episode with the reading of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, entitled Everything Has Its Time, because, well, you'll see. And I'd like us to unravel the lessons of this chapter, of this verse, of these verses, and see how they apply to our lives in regards to forgiveness. So the word says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And as we go through these verses, we see the parallel, or the contrast rather, between something bitter and something sweet. And there's an exchange there that we always see throughout the scriptures, where God will give you beauty for ashes. He will give you the oil of joy for mourning. And I was actually going through this these scriptures looking for something about forgiveness. And as we've read, it doesn't mention it at all. And as I was going through it, the Lord was revealing to me, you know, there is no season of unforgiveness with me. I don't count your faults. I sent my son to pay for all your sins. You are forgiven eternally. There is no season of unforgiveness or a season of forgiveness, a time to forgive and a time to not forgive. Because according to the word, we are eternally forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins so that we can have eternal life, that we don't have to die because of our sins. We live through Christ. And that sacrifice is true love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us, so that we can have eternal life. That is true love. Like, he didn't count all our faults. He didn't say that Jesus is going to do this for you and like this many of your sins. He's going to do it for all eternity. Like, this blood never loses power. No matter what you do, this blood covers it. So long as you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that you believe that he is the Messiah. And last episode, I posed a question that the Bible instructs us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to love your enemies, to forgive your brother 7 times 70. But can we do that? And in the natural, because of our feelings, because they were hurt, because of offense and unforgiveness, it can be really hard sometimes to love, to be patient, to forgive, and to be able to do so, we need God. That when Ecclesiastes talks about these times and these seasons and the purposes, they having every purpose under the heavens. Forgiveness wasn't mentioned because there's no season of unforgiveness or forgiveness. It's just you got to do it every day. There's no season for every day. It's just a daily walk, a daily bread, a daily thing that you must do, like making sure your hands are clean, like making sure you take a shower, like going to the bathroom. Like, it's an everyday thing you need to do to be able to love and to forgive. Not in the winter, not just in the summer, not just the fall, not just the spring. It's an everyday thing. So being offended or keeping track of wrongs done is a sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says that love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. All. Not just in the winter, not just the summer, not just the fall, not just the spring, like every day, all of it. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, it says, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And in the last episode, I was talking to you about like how I was complaining to God and how I was making reason for my feelings and justifying that I was right. And when I read these scriptures in the book of Philippians, I was quickly humbled. It says to do all things without complaining and disputing. Ugh. Like right there was just a wake-up call, a straight place where I got called out and was quickly shown where to repent. And that's not something that's like so easy, you know, because I mean, we're human. People will offend us. People will, it's easy to complain. It's easy to complain about things and justify why you're right. And we're not called to be right. Whoa, we are not called to be right. We are called to serve God. Whoa. So keeping track or record of wrongs that others have done against you and allowing yourself to continue to be offended because you keep the record of every time that this person offends you or this situation offends you isn't walking in God's love. Forgiveness and patience go hand in hand. And when you want to love a true love, the love of God, we got to forgive. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13, it says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." It's something I know I must work on, like being patient with people who should know better, and counting their wrongs and holding against them. And it just dawned on me, like, it's a sin, Maria. You can't be doing that. Like, I don't want to say like it dawned on me like it's just like this whole new thing that isn't, I didn't read in the Word. Like, I've read it. But like to have it revealed to me in this way at this point in my walk with God, I feel like is a brand new thing. Like, you know, you're supposed to forgive others. You know, you're supposed to do it. But like when it's revealed in such a real way that like I've been holding on to unforgiveness for that long and hadn't realized it, it's like the Lord was using the word to shine a light in the place of false humility or self-righteousness that I didn't even realize I was walking in because it was hidden in the shadows of what I thought was doing good deeds, what I thought was being good before the Lord. Because every time I walk in, for example, into work, and like I shared last episode, like you don't have to tell me what needs to be done. If I see it, I'm going to do it. You never have to ask me twice to do something because if I see the need, I'm going to do it. But when I see others not doing the same thing, it brings offense to me. Like when I see that they're not walking in one mind and one accord, like working as if they're working for God, like it's like every time I see them not doing so, I get offended. And it's not right. I'm holding on to and like keeping track of these wrongs that they're not necessarily doing against me. They're doing it against God. And yet I'm offended. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, or starts at verse 10, like in Matthew chapter 6, we read the model by which the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how we should pray. So it's the Lord's Prayer. And in the New King James Version, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." I remember as a kid when I was learning the prayer, I was taught in these words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And so if we don't forgive, how do we expect God to forgive us? In verses 14 to 15, it says in the New King James Version, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Jesus said that to us. Jesus said that. Even though he knew what his assignment was, that he came so that we could be forgiven, what he was saying is that your Father is sending the payment for your debt. That's what I'm here for. So if he did that for you, surely you should be able to forgive those who have trespassed you. But Lord, it's not easy. Like, it's really not easy. It's not easy to not hold a grudge. Like, it's pretty easy to do that. It's pretty easy to be offended each time someone does the same thing to offend you. Like, it's easy because it's like, you know, they're consistent at doing this thing that offends you. And so it's easy to keep track of those things, right? Like, it's really very difficult for me to confess that because I don't want that to be my confession. So I cancel that in Jesus' name. We're all on this journey with God, a journey of transformation with the Lord that, you know, as easy as we know it is because it's in our flesh, the impurities of mine may offend you, and the purities of others will bump heads with mine. And if we're really in Christ, we're supposed to forgive and be patient and love. But naturally, it's hard because of our flesh, because of our feelings. We often hear that you can't pick and choose what Bible verses you live by. And it's true, because we are on this journey to be transformed and be Christ-like and to have the mind of Christ. And we can't do this naturally. We can't do it by our own strength and our own power. We have to do it by the grace of God. And like I shared, it's a difficult thing. And I think that's why Jesus says for us to carry our cross. It wasn't easy for him. He was beat and torn. and still made to carry this cross for us, the cross that he was going to be nailed on in Calvary, where they were going to kill his flesh, and for him to rise again in 3 days, and for us to rise with him. Like, that is real love. And the way he was willing to kill his flesh like that, we are to be willing as well. For him to say, pick up your cross and carry it, is basically him saying, I did it. You can do this too. It's not going to be easy, but you need to kill that flesh so you can rise again on the third day with me. You need to be transformed and have the mind of Christ. You have to be willing to go through this journey where pieces of your flesh need to die so that you can be renewed, that you can be risen in Christ, that you can walk in him, for us to truly receive the forgiveness and the salvation that Jesus died for us to have. We have to be willing to do the same, to die to our flesh, forgive our brothers and sisters for any offense that they have against us or we have against them. I'd like to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The word says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I really like the fact that it says in verse 4, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It doesn't say instead of your own interests. It says to look for the interest of us all as one body, to be united for the best interests of us all, is how I'm reading it. But what if your colleagues are not of like mind? Don't work like you do. Don't work like they're working for the Lord. Are not respecters of your time. Are taking longer breaks than normal. Or don't put in the same respect or diligence that you do into the work that you do. And then in turn give you more work to do. It's hard to serve joyfully. And in verses 14 to 15 it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Ugh. Because it's real easy to complain about those things like, oh, so-and-so took a long break. So-and-so is not doing this, that, and the other. So I have to do it. It's easy. It's easy to complain and dispute your feelings and your reasons for being right. But again, I say we're not called to be right. We're called to be Christ-like. And that humbled me. And I think this verse will help me moving forward in checking myself. I once heard, just the other day actually, on an interview on Daystar. It was a woman being interviewed, and she serves in restorative justice. And she was saying forgiveness is like an everyday thing, like washing your hands and taking a shower. It's an everyday thing. It's not something you do once a week, once a month, like 4 times a year. It's something that you do daily. And I think with this perspective of not complaining, I think that's going to be something that I will exercise or try to daily. Verse 15 says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. These verses have been a real light to me as I was sharing. And again, like, they really shone light in places where I need to repent, where I thought I was counting the good deeds that I do unto the Lord. But as soon as somebody made me feel like I was being taken for granted or taken advantage of, all of a sudden those good deeds that I thought I was doing unto the Lord, I was just doing unto myself because of pride. And in psychological terms, it's a form of people pleasing. Instead of seeing as the deeds that I was doing were good and pleasing unto the Lord, as soon as I felt like I was not being appreciated, the whole act did a 180 turn and became about me. It became self-seeking. It became about me rather than to God. And it was no longer about doing what pleased God. It was about my feelings now and my works. Unto whom? Whom was I doing these works for then? And wow, that's a big thing to have that that realization, that recognition of false humility. You need to, like, humble is humble. But when you're fake humble, that's what happens. Pride comes in. The process of being renewed in our mind to have the mind of Christ doesn't just happen in one deliverance service. It's a daily thing. It's a daily walk, daily consumption of the bread, the word of God. It's vital. Which are the things that are pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. I'd like to close off this podcast with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 9. And the title of this chapter is Being United, Joyful, and in Prayer. The word says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." God is always finishing what he starts. He always finishes what he starts. He who has done a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that verse is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. But we have to do our parts too. And to be renewed in the weight requires being intertwined with God. Knowing his timing, when it's time to forgive, which is a daily thing, so we've learned this episode, and when it's a time to reap, when it's a time to sow, as we were reading in Ecclesiastes, when it's a time to dance, when it's a time to mourn, like, all these things are part of the walk, the daily renewing of our mind, to know God's timing, to know his voice, and to discern what season he is walking us into, and to get ready. I pray you have a blessed week. We'll talk to you soon.